helpful to pause, because it's going to take us a while to get through this book, to remind us a little bit of the context. Now, we don't know who the author of Hebrews is, but we do know he was writing to a Jewish audience. The book of Hebrews was written somewhere between 60 and 70 AD. The reason we know that is because the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, and there's no mention of it in this book. And a letter to the Hebrews would have commented on that. The church is new. The church is probably 35 years old. So the word of God has spread around the whole Middle East and the Mediterranean area. The largest portion of the church, at least at the beginning, and we don't know the percentages at this point in time, but would have been Jewish people who had become Christians. Now, the Jewish people, having been, as the Bible tells us, had been the custodians of the oracles of God, were very dedicated to ceremony and ritual and whatnot, and their whole entire world was anchored in the temple. So for the Jewish Christians, when they became a follower of Jesus Christ, they would move away from the Jewish way of worship and animal sacrifices at the temple. And they would have been experiencing persecution coming from more than one direction. On the one hand, the Roman Empire was not real friendly to this new Christian thing at this point in time. So you have the Gentiles kind of persecuting Christians. But on the other hand, their former Jewish friends and family would persecute them in the sense of, how could you possibly walk away from the law and the prophets? So they're kind of getting it from both directions. The entire book of Hebrews, then, is geared towards one theme, which is that Jesus is the name above all names. That we talked about this over the last couple of weeks, that he's greater than the angels. That he is the absolute image of God. In Colossians, it says it that way. It says he is the exact image of God. He is the radiance of God. So the author of Hebrews is trying to reinforce their faith and tell them that it's okay to put Jesus above everything else. And at some point in the future, after this book was written, the Romans will come in and they will destroy the temple. And any remnants of that way of life will have been gone. But the author has a different goal in mind. He's looking at the idea that you have all of these things going on. Turn with me, if you will. We are beginning in Hebrews chapter 3. We're just going to do the first six verses. And I want to just kind of pause and ask you a question. If you're like me, you have a lot of stuff going in your life. Is it just me, or has anybody else got a lot of stuff going in their lives? You know, we have busy schedules. We have health issues. We have business deals. We have financial crisis. We have bills that need to get paid. We got to balance the checkbook. We've got the family. We've got the future. Drive down the freeway, and how many billboards do you see talk about, have you thought about your retirement? So we're constantly, we've got all this input coming in. So it's not easy to focus on one thing, is it? And so it was with the Jews. They had a lot of input coming in there. Now, we normally think about the things that we can see and feel and touch. It's human nature, right? And this Jesus, as important as he is, we can't see him or we can't touch him. He's often far from our thoughts. Other things push him out. And it's not that we think about it, I'm going to think about this as opposed to Jesus. For most Christians, I hope, it isn't an intentional thing. It's just those other things are more immediate. I've got to take care of that problem by next Tuesday or else. And so it's easy in our human nature to let our focus slide off of Jesus. The Hebrews at this time, they're having a crisis of faith because they're torn between their veneration of Moses and the law and the commands and the person of Christ. So as we go through Hebrews, we're going to highlight today two reasons why we should fix our thoughts on Jesus. Fix our thoughts on Jesus. There's a funny, I guess you call him a meme. I'm not sure. I'm not very technical. You'll go on the internet, and it's a kind of an ongoing joke that this Navy ship is going through the stormy seas, and they see a light up ahead, and they radio, you know, this is the USS Abraham or whatever it was, and you need to veer off because we're coming through. And somebody comes back on the radio, and they say, well, no, we're not moving anywhere. And guy comes back on the radio, and he says, we are a United States Navy missile destroyer. Now, I don't know who you are, but you need to veer off. And the person says, well, I'm glad you're a U.S. Navy destroyer, but we're not going anywhere. And the guy on the captain of the ship comes back on, and he says, we are a U.S. Navy vessel, and if you do not veer off right now, there's going to be severe consequences. Guy comes back on the radio and says, well, you do whatever you got to do, Captain, but we're a lighthouse. That captain's focus was on the wrong thing. He saw a light. He decided what that light was. And come what may, he was going to react according to what he thought. So we get focused on things. What we need to be doing is fixing our thoughts on Jesus. On Jesus. Now let me be very clear. Not fixing our thoughts on church and Sunday worship, although I wish you'd all get here at 11. That would make me really happy. But my point is that it's not to fix our eyes on this, although this is important. It's not to fix our eyes on the church budget. It's not to fix our eyes on the Constitution. It's to fix our thoughts on Jesus. It is my belief that if a church fixes its thoughts on Jesus, everything else will take care of itself. Could be wrong about that, but that's been my experience. So let's talk about fixing our thoughts about Jesus. He is called here, it's kind of interesting, he's called the apostle and high priest. Look at your text there. Let's see if we have it up on the slides. Not working? There's nothing. Okay. Well, what's the next slide? Is it music slides? Huh. Okay. Well, here's why you have a Bible and notes. Look at your Bible. Look at verse 1. It says, therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. Now, isn't that easy? Interesting. He's calling Jesus an apostle. And in the same passage, he's calling him high priest. Now, remember the audience. These are the Jews. The high priest, in their way of thinking, means a certain thing. The high priest, in the way the Jews worked, the high priest once a year would go into the Holy of Holies and offer sacrifice for the entire nation. And that was the only time they could go in to the Holy of Holies. The high priest was the main theological figure in their way of thinking. So he's calling Jesus the apostle and the high priest. But he starts out by saying, holy brothers, meaning those who are sanctified by Christ. Do you know what the word holy actually means? The word holy means set apart. When we sing the song, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, he is set apart. The holy brothers and sisters, don't want to get in trouble there. The holy ones are those who are set apart for Christ. So he says, holy brothers, they are children of God and they're brothers and sisters to one another. We share in the heavenly calling. We share in the heavenly calling. That's an amazing statement. What is the heavenly calling? God himself designed the plan of salvation to call those whom he called, who he predestined, who he elected. He calls them to himself. That is the heavenly calling. So the author starts by saying, holy brothers, we share in the heavenly calling. It means we're together in his call to persevere in our faith and focus on Jesus. You say fix your thoughts. So the word fix comes from a Greek word. It has the same connotation as concentrating your gaze. If you like to read like novels and adventure novels, you know, you read the story where he fixed his eyes on the other person. It has that implication of that laser focus. So fix your thoughts. It's concentrating your gaze. It means to put our mind completely upon Christ. Now, this is not just a call or a suggestion. This is an actual command. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Paul says this in Colossians 3, in 1 and 2. It says, if then you have been raised in Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. How many times in Scripture does it say, lay up treasure in heaven? And it talks about the kingdom of God. We sing a song, the earth is not my home, I'm just a passing through. One of my pastors in the past, he always had this conversation about how we are ambassadors. And the imagery about that is, if you think about an ambassador, it's someone who is selected by a country to go to another country and represent that country. Not to represent themselves, not to speak for themselves. An ambassador to another kingdom is there to speak on behalf of the kingdom that sent him. So we are all ambassadors from the kingdom of God. We have all have the responsibility of representing the kingdom to this world. You are an ambassador